Yes, Acts chapter 18. So Paul's third journey. And in verse 23 is where we're going to start. And after he had spent some time, so this is when he came back from his previous journey, the second journey, which we did last time, we're together. He spent some time. He was at Antioch. There he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. That's all it says about what he did. And a certain Jew, and it's not clear who traveled with Paul on this journey. There are various people mentioned at various points, so sometimes we tend to just say Paul and company. But there's, you know, as I mentioned, very good chance he retraced most of his steps, because how else could you strengthen the disciples when there were no disciples there? So he would have gone done that. Verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John, the water baptism. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla, and you'll remember last time, Paul had left Aquila and Priscilla in Ephesus, right? But they had accompanied him from Corinth to Ephesus, and he had left them there. So they were well acquainted with the gospel. So they were able to take him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And that would be according to the gospel that Paul had been preaching. And when he was disposed, Apollos, to pass into Achaia, or the Greece area, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. So he believed what Aquila and Priscilla told him, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Would have loved to heard some of his preaching, wouldn't you? He obviously knew the scriptures, so he was able to use the scriptures and convince them about Jesus Christ. Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, the word coast is really translated parts, having passed through the upper parts, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Not sure he went from Antioch northward or back down to Ephesus or via the road that goes through Ephesus, Colossae, and Laodicea. It doesn't really tell us. So Apollos had just left, and so he arrives in Ephesus. In verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, so Apollos has made his way to Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, verse 2, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism, which is all that Apollos knew. Now, I don't know why Aquila and Priscilla or others hadn't, but it seems like this group of people didn't know. That's all it tells us. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So, you know, pretty amazing result after Paul having just taught them the word of God. Now, Ephesus itself, the city itself, just to get a little bit of a background on the city, it was the greatest city at the time of Asia Minor. Prior to it becoming the greatest city in Asia Minor, Miletus had been the greatest city, but Ephesus had overtaken it. It was renowned for the goddess Diana and the practice of magic. There was a lot of magic going on there. Unlike Athens, the spiritual influence here was oriental, or of Asiatic superstition. They say the Ephesian letters on the goddess Diana, if recited, were said to be a charm to be used by those who were in the power of devil spirits. That's from Coney Barenhausen. Many books were compiled related to these superstitions and the power behind them. We'll see this becomes interesting as to what Paul does here and this is the background of the city. The temple of Diana, or Artemis, as she was known, was visible from the harbor, a pretty large temple, temple and statue. The statue itself of Diana had many breasts, like Eastern images, but was an object of great veneration. It was believed, they said, to have fallen from the sky. Okay. Yeah, you know, there's no accounting for folk tales, right? The games of Asia and Ephesus were also very, very famous. We looked last time at the Isthmian games that were also famous in Corinth. So the Greeks were into games. And so, again, that you see that imagery in when Paul writes in the epistles. So, okay, that's the background of Ephesus. So let's see what happens. Verse 7, and all the men were about 12, not 12 years old, but there was 12 of them. He went into the synagogue and spake, here he is again, goes to the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. So he spends two, and this is after he'd been there. This teaching now continues for 2 years. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So it's interesting that evil spirits is mentioned here, and in that Ephesus was a place where much magic was practiced. It's the background of the city. And here it's also interesting, this is where God, you know, chooses to do special miracles by these handkerchiefs, something that was needful in this situation. Verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews who were also exorcists, so there's a lot of magic and superstition taking place here, which has also infiltrated Judaism. Because these guys were Jews. Also, they were exorcists. They were used to handling spirits. Took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth, which is really interesting. And there was 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests. Which did, so you see this magic that was taking place in Ephesus has really gotten into the Judeans, the synagogues and so forth. Here it says that he was chief of the priests, which was handling spirits. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. But who are you? Really interesting response from a devil spirit, isn't it? That this spirit, the spiritual realm, acknowledged the presence of the Savior. I know Jesus. And they also acknowledged the presence of Paul, who was working for Jesus Christ. I know Paul, I know Jesus, and I know Paul. But who are you? In other words, I don't recognize your authority. But they recognize the authority of Jesus Christ and of Paul. You think that the work of Jesus Christ isn't important? You know, I was thinking, why are we looking at these journeys? And I was thinking, well, you think about Paul the Apostle. And here the spiritual realm says that they understood who Paul was. You know that because of Paul the Apostle, everything that we owe, everything that we understand about what is written directly to the body, the Christian church, was received by the Apostle Paul. Not to mention Hebrews and other books possibly, and the other epistles. He was a great man that God would work with him to say, listen, I'm going to tell you, and we'll look at this maybe after we finish the life of Paul, but I'm going to tell you, Paul, about my purpose of the ages. I'm going to tell you everything. I want you to write it down. And I want you to tell, and I want you to teach this. You know, it's pretty significant to understand who this man is and what he did. To the point here, the Spirit says, I know Paul. Ooh, interesting. You do you? So Paul was making some definite inroads in the spiritual realm. Okay, where are we? Verse 16. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Here you go. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on all of them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts. Again, remember, this is an area where there was a lot of magic, superstition, use of spirits. And so many of them that used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. It's the word of God. You know, you can look at all the verses and references where it talks about how it's the introduction of light that dispels darkness. It's the light that makes the darkness manifest. The darkness can't handle light. Introduction of the preaching brought all this evil right out in the forefront, to the point that the spiritual realm said, oh, we understand Paul. We know Paul. And then all this wonderful deliverance. It was here, while Paul was here, that he wrote, during his third year, he wrote 1 Corinthians. The word of God moved not only in Ephesus, it would have also gone to cities like Colossae, Hierapolis, Laodicea, and other places where, because they're mentioned in Paul's epistles, and they're near those areas. So it was just Paul and those who worked with him, like Philemon and Epaphras and Archippus. And you can look at all those names mentioned in certain epistles. So the word of God moved out, but there was Paul and the men who worked with him that were responsible for it. In let's just look at verse 21 for a second, then we're going to look at a couple of verses in Corinthians. In verse 21, after these things, so after all this had happened, where ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem. So he wanted to go through Macedonia and then down to Greece or Corinth there, Achaia, and then he wanted to go back to Jerusalem. That was what his mindset was. The word spirit there means mind. That, in his mind, that's what he wanted to do. It wasn't revelation. This is what he wanted to do. He wanted to go through Macedonia and then Achaia and then to Jerusalem. And saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So that was his intention. So he sent into Macedonia. So while he was at Ephesus, he sent into Macedonia of two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, and he himself stayed in Asia for a season. So he stayed back in Ephesus. So remember, he's there. He's taught the word of God for 2 years. He sent the two of them ahead. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 for a second, just to get 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus. So when he was there, his intention was that Timothy would make his way all the way to Corinth, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So he had been to Corinth before. So now Paul writes the epistle of 1 Corinthians and sends it to Corinth, while he himself stayed back in Macedonia. Sorry, back in Ephesus. Okay, let's jump back to Acts, please. While we're here, let's look at Acts. Sorry, my apologies. Go to 1 Corinthians 16 as well. Yeah, to get a little more information there. So we just mentioned that Paul wanted to go through Macedonia, Achaia, and on his way to Jerusalem. And in 1 Corinthians 16, let's go to 3. And when I come, so he's on his way to Corinth, when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. So you're going to see here, and during this journey, Paul was also making a collection to take back to bless those back in Jerusalem. That's mentioned a few times. Verse 4. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through the same order, Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide ye in winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. for I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. So he was going to stay in Ephesus until Pentecost. So this is probably springtime, May, and he's saying, I'm on my way to Corinth. I'll be there soon. I might spend a bit of time with you. And he sent Timothy to tell him that. Let's go back to Acts. So according to 1 Corinthians, Timothy was eventually to reach Corinth. Back to Acts 19, verse 23. So while they're gone, ahead of him, verse 23, this happens. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way, or about the way. Everybody had heard in Asia, this thing had happened, the word of God had moved, this thing with Sceva, all these things had happened. People were hearing these things. For a certain man named Demetrius, verse 24, a silversmith which made silver shrines for Diana brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. So Diana, big deal in Ephesus. And this guy was making shrines, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Number one, right? That's his first order of importance. You guys know by this we make money. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, again, confirms that the word of God had moved through all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. Isn't that what he preached back in Athens? Remember, that's exactly what he preached. So that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught. So, you know, number one, he reiterates it again. We have our wealth by this. And because of what Paul's doing, our craft is in trouble. But also, on the second note, that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised. We don't want that, do we? No, we don't want that. We don't want Diana to be despised. And they all probably bowed down and said, yeah, it makes great sense. Thinking about their bank accounts. And her magnificence should be destroyed. From all Asia, and you can just see the real order, right? Don't get them all riled up. But they weren't thinking about that. Verse 28, and when they had heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is the bank of Ephesus. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. No, whatever. Right. And this, the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, so other guys who are traveling with Paul. So not all, you see, though, time and time again, certain men are mentioned here and there. So there's men who travel with Paul. Men of Macedonia. These guys were from Macedonia. Paul's companions in travel. They rushed with one accord into the theater, and when Paul would have entered unto the people, the disciples suffered him not, and certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends. See, Paul, having preached the word of God there for 2 years, some of the chief men, guys who were rulers in Asia, had come to know the Lord. They were his friends now. They helped Paul. Desiring him that he would not adventure, told him, don't go into the theater, Paul. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. They didn't even know why they were even there. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and then Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. When they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, that's a long time, cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians, for 2 hours. My goodness. And when the town clerk, and here's another example of, you know, a secular ruler taking care of Paul. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, of the image which fell down from Jupiter? We all know that. Everybody knows that. Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies, let them plead one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar. See, they're very cognizant of the Roman law. You're not allowed to do this kind of stuff. There being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse, And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Acts 20, verse 1. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples. You see it time and time again. No matter what happens, he's always very concerned about those who had believed and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. So now he's making his way up towards Macedonia, like he said he was going to do. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came unto Greece. That is a journey of 8 or 9 months to go from Ephesus all the way to Achaia. So that's covered in one verse. Now we don't know exactly where he went, only that he eventually arrives in Greece, and most likely Tychicus and Trophimus traveled with him. But we can get a little more information about what happened from the other epistles. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 to get a little more information. And we're going to see where he shortly writes 2 Corinthians as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. So on the way, he stopped at Troas. He was hoping to find Titus there, but he didn't find Titus there. So he was like, okay, I was expecting him to find him here, but I didn't. Look at chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. Because he had sent Titus, as we'll see, to get some news about the Corinthians, and he had hoped at that point to have gotten some news back about how the Corinthians were doing. Because he had written 1 Corinthians, right? And if you remember 1 Corinthians, it's a pretty... what the heck are you doing epistle, right? It's like, what's going on, guys? And he kind of lays out all these things. And so he was hoping that they were doing well. And so he'd hoped to get that information. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, for when we were coming to Macedonia, so he's now coming to Macedonia, most likely Philippi, or the first city around that area, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. So Titus finally arrives back. And so Paul is blessed to meet Titus back again. They're most likely there in Philippi because it's the entry point into Macedonia. And he most likely wrote 2 Corinthians from Philippi. Just jump back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Corinthians... The salutation says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother. So Timothy also would have joined him unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. So you see, he's on his way there. He's getting there, and Titus tells him what's... And they notice, if you look at 2 Corinthians, he makes great references to when, you know, I learned how you were doing. You guys had cleared yourself in the first epistle I'd written. You guys made yourself, you know, you can read it. You can see where it's very clear that by this time, the impact of the first epistle had been registered in Corinth, and they had responded to it. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The last reference we'll look at in 2 Corinthians. Read that. And in verse 16 of that chapter, we read, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed, he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own account cord, he went unto you, and we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. So Paul wrote the second epistle and sent Titus back to Corinth and to the surrounding churches. Also note that Titus was also assisting Paul in the collection that they were making for the saints. And there's a lot of references to that collection that was going to bless the saints of Jerusalem. Remember, you know, one place it says the saints of Macedonia have been very forthright in giving, that they were so blessed to give. So Titus was also involved in that collection. Okay, back to Acts chapter 20. So 20 verse 2, and we had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. So he came eventually to Corinth, like he said he was going to do. And there abode 3 months. And he had said, I will spend some time with you if the Lord will. So he was able to spend 3 months with them in the winter. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. So they were waiting for him. So he decided to go back through the land. He had come down by the water, but he went back through by land into Macedonia. So 3 months, quick visit. And as they accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, and second, let's see, more men, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus, and Trophimus. See, you see mentions of various people that traveled with him at various points. These going before tarried for us at Troas. So now we know when we use the we sections, the us sections, Luke is also with him. So these guys were waiting for them at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi, so they're already up in Philippi, after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. It was a 5 days journey. They spent 7 days there. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain man, young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him and said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. They didn't sleep. They stayed up all night. This guy got raised again. He was dead. He was healed. They stayed again till the morning. I can imagine they were a little bit excited about what happened, about what was going on there. And they brought the young man alive, verse 12, and were not a little comforted. That means they were very comforted about what had happened. It's kind of interesting. You see these miracles. We saw some in Ephesus, you know, these guys being cast out and all this. Just kind of, this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. He died, Paul ministered, he was healed, and they were comforted. You see, walking, we've noticed before, Paul walking by the Spirit and the things that he was doing. And the Lord Jesus Christ confirming the signs with one, confirming his word with the signs and wonders following. You see that time and time again. Without God, it's not possible. Verse 13, and we went therefore to ship and sailed on to Assos, and there intending to take in Paul, for so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. He wanted to go for a little bit of a walk. Like I said, it's about a period of about 20 miles from there. Okay, one more thing I wanted to mention to you while we're here. Prior to leaving Corinth, Paul would have written the epistle to the Romans. And that's the best we understand that he did that. If you'll just hold your finger here and go to Romans chapter 15. So this is quite an eventful journey. Three epistles. Romans chapter 15. I did jump ahead a little bit, so my apologies. Let's just jump back to that for a second. 15:24 says, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go on to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, which was that thing that he was doing, the collection he was making. It had pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia, so we had already gone through Macedonia and now in Achaia, which is Corinth, to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And in Romans 16, verse 1, it says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which did Cenchrea. Now, Cenchrea is the port right near Corinth. So he sent the epistle to the Romans from Corinth with Phoebe and told them he had just gone through Macedonia and Achaia, and he was on his way to make a contribution to the saints which were at Jerusalem. So this is when Paul wrote Romans. So during this journey, he wrote 1st and 2nd Corinthians and the book of Romans. And Romans, he had never been to Rome. We saw there previously, he said, I will be there. I want to get to Rome also. But he knows a lot of the believers there. If you read the book of Romans, you'll see he commends himself with so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. So he knows them. He had met them before, but he himself had never been to Rome at this point. Okay, let's jump back to where we left him over at Troas there. Okay, verse 13. So he was going to walk for the 20 miles. Apparently, it's a very beautiful Roman road there, from what they say. Lots of oak trees and streams that are. So it was a nice walk, nice chance for him to, I guess, probably pray. if we know Paul. Verse 14. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios. The next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Troglium. And the next day we came to Miletus. So this is the city just south of Ephesus on the coast. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible, for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. So this is a big loop. He went from Ephesus all the way back, came all the way back, now is Miletus, and dealing with the same believers there. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Remember, they're always after him. They're always trying to get him to stop. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have sworn, shown you, and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both the Jews and also the Greeks. There it is again, right? Everybody. Repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit, that means in my inner desires, unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, say that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So there's some information, some indications that things aren't great. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood, or should say with the blood of his own. Is what it literally says there. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. See, information foretelling what was going to happen in the church. He knew this was going to happen. I can't understand, I can't imagine what it was like for him to know that after he was going to leave, there were people going to come into the houses and they were going to enter, not sparing the flock. They were going to take. There was going to be damage. He knew that. Also of your own selves, people who are also of the believers, shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, see that this is where we know that he was there for at least 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I mean, look at his great love for the gospel and for those who believe the gospel. You see it time and time again. He knew things were going to happen. It must have broken his heart to know that this was going to happen after he had given his heart and soul to make the gospel known in Ephesus and surrounding area. Okay, and now verse 32. Brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's apparel, silver or gold or apparel. Yet you yourselves know that these hands, my hands, you know, have ministered unto my necessities and to them that not only did I work, but I also worked for those that were with me. You know, sometimes you might feel, oh, you know, I mean, it's so hard to be a believer and, you know, to do. Look at this man. You know, why do we look at him? He's also supposed to be, as I mentioned before, he's a pattern to all those who should believe. Look at this man. He didn't want the gospel, and we know from 1 Corinthians 9, which he wrote during this journey, that he didn't want the gospel ever to fall into ill repute, no matter what happened, right? From Corinthians, we know that for him, it was like, if the gospel could be damaged, he would do everything to avoid that, and that including taking no money from, not taking money from anyone, working himself. Remember he wrote them, I can live on the gospel, but I have not chosen to do that, because I don't want the gospel to suffer. You see this here. I worked with my hands. Not only that, I also worked for the guys that were with me. So you can't say I did this for money. Verse 35. I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How does he know these words? He never met Jesus. Except on the road to Emmaus, I mean. Sorry, on the road to Damascus. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He obviously knew what Jesus Christ had taught. He spent time with Peter. He spent time with others. He knew what he taught. How, more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, and he was a great example of somebody who would rather give than receive. Even in this journey he's taking to Jerusalem, which we know he's not supposed to. You know, he was doing what he thought was best, which in this case wasn't. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. Almost done here. And it came to pass that after we had gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Kos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara, on the way back now towards Jerusalem. And finding a certain ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. We had left, discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand, and sailed into Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Whereas in Acts 15, he had received revelation, as we know from Galatians, to go to Jerusalem for the council. Here, he's being told by revelation not to go to Jerusalem. It's a very different journey than the one he had taken before. Verse 5, and when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children. This is cool imagery. Till we all were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed with the wives and children, with Paul. What a great loving imagery of a fellowship and their love for Paul and his love for them. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. So they went back along the water. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, again the we section, so Luke is with him, and which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughter virgins, which did prophesy. As we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. You know, as we've learned before, God is doing everything to keep Paul from getting into the soup, right, so to speak. Sent a prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When we had heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, as we've mentioned before, it sounds sincere and sounds religious and all that, but doesn't matter how religious, how sincere and you sound or we sound, if it's not the will of God, it's not the will of God. Verse 14, when he would not be persuaded, we see saying the will of the Lord be done, because they had been saying it, they stopped saying that, and after those days we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. So warnings all the way, foreshadowing of problems. And Paul ends up in Jerusalem. And the next time, at some point, we'll take a look at just how things have changed in Jerusalem over those years, from the time of the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15 to the point as to what happens to Paul and the rest of his ministry. So we'll stop there this time. Okay?